Okay, so yesterday we talked about the role of the emphasis of the flags in perhaps bringing out the dual identities of the Jewish people. Though I think that if you read the Psukim carefully, and I haven't seen Mefarshim really point to it, but I think if you read the Psukim carefully and have read it enough times, you'll get this feeling that the Psukim throughout the census is really trying to emphasize this dual identity consistently. And I think that this might explain some of the repetitions, the feeling repetition of the Psukim. And I will note, and this is another important point, and I think we've made it, I think, a few times over the last few years, but it's surprising every time I think we think about it. Part of the problem, I think, in reading a parsha like Bamidbar is that we are used to looking at this parsha as boring because we don't like lists and numbers. But if you look through the ancient world in general, they seem to have liked numbers and lists and genealogies and hierarchy and things like that because they looked at it as celebratory. And you see this in other ancient Near East texts. And Dr. Josh Berman makes a point of this in articles and now in his new book, in Ani Mamen, that, you know, one of the things you always need a little bit of humility of is when you read an ancient text that was speaking primarily to a different audience, even if it's meant to be eternal as well, you do have to realize that certain literary genres may not speak to us, but they do speak to, the audience they were talking about. And if you think about it, right, like if you've ever read, like, you know, you see like the steles of different kings. And I conquered this city, and I conquered this city, and I conquered this city. And when I conquered this city, there were this many people that I took hostage, and this many people I took as slaves, and this much gold, right? Just listing numbers was actually a way of celebrating. So it could just be that the reason that these psukim are repetitive and go through these details over and over is that it's a sort of celebration of the Jewish people and how many people we had and how powerful we were, whatever. And that was just the trope in the ancient world. And often you just don't realize that. Right? We've talked about this, we've talked about it in numbers and hierarchies, definitely in Bereishit. We've talked about it in general also. Right. Carmi has an article on this called A Pshat in the Dark, where he makes this point. But just to give sort of a modern example, right? If someone used an idiom, which admittedly is a little bit outdated, but fine. If someone said it was raining cats and dogs, everyone knows that's not what it means. But in 500 years, people are speaking English, right? They might look at it and think that cats and dogs were flying, and that would not be pshat, even though that's what the words say, right? Sometimes you just need cultural context. So it could just be that the reason that these numbers are repeated and the Nisim are repeated is simply because that was what was done. But I do think that part of it is, as I said yesterday with the flags, though again, I think it's inherent in the original count in Perek Aleph as well, is that there is this constant emphasis on the fact that all Jewish people really function at multiple levels of identity. And I just want to do a little bit of a careful read of this parak and see why I think this is true. So first of all is the fact that obviously, even right at the beginning, Su'u'it Rosh Kol Adat B'nei Yisrael, the ultimate goal here is to count the entire Jewish people, but consistently, what do we say every time? L'mishpechotam, L'veid Avotam. You count all the Jewish people, but according to their families, Kol Zachar L'gul Golotam. And that is consistently true. But I think you get it in the next the pasuk as well. Who was responsible for counting? So this is where it gets interesting. I want you to listen to the pasuk very carefully and tell me what you hear, right, literally. So you get pasuk Gimel. Mi ben eshim shana v'amala kol yotzei tzava b'Yisrael, tifkidu otam l'tziv otam, atavi aharon. So in that pasuk, who's responsible?
Aaron Moshe.
Why?
They're the leaders.
Well, I think because in pasuk Gimel, who are you counting? Kol Yotzei Tzava B'Yisrael. If you're counting the Jews, then it's a national project. If it's a national project, who's counting Moshe and Aaron? And then think of how careful pasuk Dalet is. V'itechem Yihu, with you there will be, which makes it sound like
the museum will be there, but they're not like...
Right, I mean, the people were there. There's another layer, but they're with you. It's not that... It's not that he turns to 14 people and says, count, Moshe, Aaron, and 12 Nesi'im. It's Moshe and Aaron do the main count, but they have ancillary to them to the Nesi'im, which I think is the Torah's way of saying. There's a level at which Moshe and Aaron are really counting, but practically that manifests itself tribally. So you get in Pasuk Dalet, V'itachem Yichu, Ish Ish Lamateh, Ish Rosh Elveid Avotavu. You'll get a person, but not just randomly. It'll be the person in charge of his family house, right? So you could have just said, oh, it's just Moshe Aaron and the bureaucrats, but it's not. It's they're there, they're ancillary, but they're there, and they're in charge of their family. And what proves, I think, that this is emphasizing the dual identity and they're not just bureaucrats? What do you think, Asher?
The way the pasuk is phrased, v'itchem.
Well, I think it's the next pasuk.
Oh.
The Eilish Shmoda Anashim, Asher Ya'amdu Itachem, Leuven Elitribin Shtei Ur.
Why does that?
Because if they were bureaucrats, they would be nameless. Right? If it was purely national, so then, Moshe Aaron, and get a bunch of people to help you. But instead, the rest of the Aliyah, essentially, is, and these are the names of the people. Leuven Elitribin Shtei Ur, Leshimon Shlomi Abin Shri Shaddai, Leudah Anashim Anandav, Leisachar Nisan Abin Shor, etc. So, there's this constant tension. Moshe and Aaron counting, and the other people are only v'itachem, but they're not nameless cogs in the bureaucracy. They actually have identities. And if that weren't clear enough, so when you finish naming them, Pasuk Tetzayin, Eile Kiru'ei Ha'eda. These are the people who are called out, Nisi'ei Matot. Avotam, the Nesi'im of their Shevet, Roshei Alfei Yisrael Haim, right? It makes it very clear. These are the people who called out to their groups, right? There is this emphasis. They're not just random people who practically are counting for each Shevet. And even the next pasuk, Vayikach Moshe v'Aharon, Moshe and Aharon take, Ed ha'anashim ha'ila asher nikivu b'shemot. These people who were called out by name. Meaning, right, and there's this constant emphasis. Moshe and Aaron are doing it because it's national, but the people they're taking aren't random. They're those that were specified and chosen. The eight kol ha'eda hekilu, again, I think every pasuk is doing this. And the whole eida they gathered, becha v'chodesh ha'sheni. So now you'd say, oh, national is the focus, but what's the next words? V'yaldu al mishmechotam levein avotam v'mispar shemot. So, it's not just the Degel, right? It's not just Perek Aleph versus Perek Bet. It's even within Perek Aleph, if you read carefully, I think, what you're getting is this constant, right, this constant motion are responsible because it's at one level national. But on the other hand, they don't just get people to do it practically. They get leaders. They get people that represent the tribes, that are called by the tribes, that are chosen by the tribes. And even in Pasuk Chaf, if you were just counting the Shvatim purely to get a final number, then the next Pasuk would sound weird. But listen to the next Pasuk. Vayihu v'nei Reuven b'chor Yisrael.
Right.
Right, which means that Reuven is important because his identity matters. It's not just Reuven. It's not just, oh, practically we have to divide up the numbers. But the Shvatim have an identity, and therefore I bother telling you Reuven is Bechor Yisrael because Reuven has his own identity within. And then obviously in each of the counts, and these psukim repeat many times, which is part of what makes the first 50 psukim of this very easy as a bar mitzvah parsha, even though it's quite long, is that each of the next units goes, Vayihu v'nei Reuven b'chor Yisrael, that's different, but everything else is the same. Todotam l'mishmechotam l'vein avotam, v'mispar shemot l'gul gulotam, kol zachar mishim shana v'amal, kol yutzi tzava, p'kudehem l'matei Reuven, shishav arba melef, v'chamesh melef, that there is this emphasis on the families, on the camp, right? It's, but, again, what's the end of this whole unit after you repeat all of that? Eile ha-pikudim asher pakad Moshe v'Aaron. And now what's their names? Unsi Yisrael. Right here they get elevated. You get this interesting thing that when you get the individual count... Oh, welcome back, Yitzchak. When you get the individual count, they have names and they're the Nasi of each Shevet. But there's also, obviously, the national element. So after emphasizing the each Shevet, how do you close it up? Moshe v'Aaron unsiye Yisrael, and now they're nameless. What are they? Shnei Mesarish, 12 people. Ish echad levei avotav, ayu. Vayhu kol pikudei v'nei Yisrael v'edav otam yibenei shem shono v'amala kol yitzeitav of Yisrael. And the count of all the Jewish people, vayhu kol ha-pikudim sheshmon elef v'shloshon alafim v'chamei yishmeot v'chamishim. And therefore, I think that at one level, the first thing we said is partially true, which is that we repeat these numbers over and over again simply because that was the genre and how you celebrated power and strength. But I think part of it is as well is that if you're very careful about reading the Psukim go out of their way to constantly play with the national level and the tribal level at pretty much every stage of the process. Who's in charge? Is it Moshe and Aaron? Is it the local Nesiim? Well, they're secondary, v'itchem, but they have names and they're personal shvatim, but by the end they're not. They're just Nesi Yisrael because that's the roundup. But in the middle, the shvatim are clearly not, they're on the one hand a chelek of the total, but on the other hand they maintain their identity, and therefore things like, oh, by the way, Reuven is Bechor Yisrael. He's not just one of the shvatim, right? Remember, they each have their identity. And I do think that further bolsters what we suggested yesterday with regards to the flag, is that a lot of the way this is organized is emphasizing those multiple layers. And I would note in this, I didn't really emphasize yesterday, but Perek Bet isn't just emphasizing the tribal identity, but it's introducing yet another identity. I'll end with this. What's the other identity? Which we, right, so far we've talked about national, we've talked about Shevet, we've talked about even families in Beit Av, but there's one more identity, which is introduced only in Perek Bet and not in Perek Aleph, and that is? No. Is, going back macro, is? Is mini camp identity, right? Because, right, Perek Bet is about how each of the Shvatim are part of a three Shevet unit that takes a direction in the camp. Right? So there really are many, many levels, right? There's national, Shevet, family, but then going back, Perek Bet is, and by the way, the Shvatim are made up of mini camps, north, south, east, west, each with its own local leader and sub Shvatim. So the, right, the, and again, I think this goes, I think without Josh Berman's point, you don't get the whole way, right? Meaning, you could have still made this more succinct if it weren't for the fact that this was celebratory. But Toch Kidei, I think the Psukim really are trying to play with these issues of identities and are very careful at literally every stage, in terms of the leaders, in terms of who's counting, in terms of the flags, in terms of all of that. Okay, so we'll stop.